welcome to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program. On your mark, get set, let's go. This is another beautiful week to serve the Lord in Brevard County, Florida. By the way, I believe that this is Office Administrators Week, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. But normally this week falls as Office Manager, Office Administrator Week. And so if you are an executive out there, don't forget to thank the people who make your office run smooth as silk. So I have the best office manager in Brevard County. I told her that one time and she said, just Brevard County? I said, well, I haven't met them all in Florida, and no, you can't hire her, and no, she can't retire. So, we are blessed, and, I honor Karen today. I tell people that, one of the two of us, either her or I, are indispensable, and it's not me. So she's the one that knows where everything is at, and if I can't find something, she doesn't even have to strain her brain. She knows right where everything is at and keeps me functioning, keeps me on task, and I appreciate her immensely. So thank you, Karen, for all that you do. Today we want to once again say thank you to the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. Summertime comes early here in Florida. I normally say winter's on a Tuesday. We did have a couple of cooler spells this year, a little bit later and things like that. But eventually the heat is going to get here. And when it happens, you want to be able to keep your house cool. And if you do not have an air conditioning repairman that is trustworthy, very good at his job, then I need to tell you about the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. They have been in Brevard County for getting close to 50 years now. They have been providing professional sales, services, and repairs. They've repaired electrical issues. They repair air conditioning systems of all varieties, traditional units as far as air handlers and compressors and condensing units. They take care of heating issues. If you are like some people that I know and like your house to be closer to 80 than it is to 70, they can make sure that you are able to take care of that. They work in residential settings mainly, some light commercial settings, but they provide emergency service when necessary. So I have no problem calling them whenever I need something. But, you know, if it's something I can live with, like we had an air conditioning issue here not too many months ago, less than a year ago, happened on a Friday night, but the weather was very mild. And I said, you know what, I will wait and I will call them on Monday. And they came out and they got the problem resolved. I may have called them before then just to let them know, hey, you know, we're good for now, but as soon as you can get us on the schedule, that would be great. They strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. Now, you have to realize affordable fluctuates with the times. So with the supply chain issues and all of those sorts of things, don't be thinking, well, maybe it only cost us $1.97 back in 1942. It's not 1942. I don't know what their rates are, but I do know that they are very, very competitive and affordable in their rates. So before you find yourself in need of their services, give them a call at 321-632-9538. 321-632-9538. Dennis and Carla are a blessing to the body of Christ. They serve at a church in the Central Florida area on the weekends. But you will find them a joy to deal with. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio program, and that would be a blessing to us. So, if you were talking about what does the devoted life of a believer look like, which is what we have been talking about for several weeks now, living a devoted life, what are some of the books that you would go to? So we have been in several books so far. We have talked about in Acts. We've been in Acts. We've been in the book of Psalms. We've been in 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles. We've been in Ezekiel. We've been in Matthew. We've been in 1 Corinthians. We've been in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. We have been in the book of 2 Chronicles and Romans. And today we're going to venture to your favorite book in the scriptures. Now, I will remind you that all scripture is given by God. It's inspired by God. It's God-breathed. There are some passages that people just like to skip over. I tell people that if they're going to begin a Bible reading program, you don't necessarily want to begin with Genesis. I encourage people to begin in the Gospel of John. I encourage them to go from John to the book of Acts. Then you go into Romans and the Pauline epistles. You end up in Revelation. And once you've done that, then go back and read the New Testament again. Start in Matthew this time. The reason I tell people to start in John is they get a presentation of the Gospels, and then they go right into the church and the ministry of the church, and that serves them well. By the time you've got into that habit of daily feeding on God's Word, then you're able to go back to Matthew and see how he ministers to his audience about the ministry of Jesus. Then you come to the Gospel of Mark, and it's a much shorter version. You're going to get a few things there that you wouldn't get other places. And then you get to Luke and back to John again. And by then you have developed a routine. You go through the New Testament again, and then you're ready to go back to Genesis. And Genesis is in a narrative format. You will be able to read through Genesis and understand how things began. Exodus, you will see how God had spared the Jewish people, and you will begin to see how God transitions them from bondage into the possession of the promised land. Genesis and Exodus, you know, lots of narrative, and so you'll be fine. But then you come to the book of Leviticus, and people almost have the same mindset towards Leviticus as they have towards Revelation, and that is they want to avoid it at all cost, because Leviticus is about the Levitical law. But what you need to understand is that when you read the book of Leviticus, there are some precious passages in there. There are a lot of things that have to do with the tabernacle and with the priestly worship and things like that, many of which have been upgraded through the ministry of Jesus Christ. But there are some wonderful things like the year of Jubilee. How many of you have ever heard of the year of Jubilee? Well, the year of Jubilee is revealed in the book of Leviticus. And it talks about how your debts can be canceled. And so I know that when I was at Merit Assembly of God, and God laid the year of Jubilee, ministering on the year of Jubilee, on my heart, and I began to prepare for that. What I realized was, as Christians, we were not restricted to just seeing debts canceled every 50 years. As Christians, our debts, we could cancel people's debts. whenever we felt like it. Could be spiritual debts could be canceled. Financial debts could be relieved. And so I taught about the year of Jubilee in this manner. Don't write your mortgage company and say, Pastor Bob said that this was the year of Jubilee, and as a result of that, our debts were canceled, and so I'm just letting you know I'm not going to be making my mortgage payment anymore. Don't be writing your car loan people and saying, hey, it's your Jubilee. My loan is canceled. I said, that's not what this is about. I said, what you do have power to do is for people that you have been holding things against, you have the ability to say to them, look, I am canceling this debt. I am eliminating it. I am releasing you to the blessing of the Lord. I said, now when you have sown that type of seed, you need to be prepared to receive, because God has a way of giving unto us the forgiveness that we've granted. He pours that back into our lives. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into our bosom. And so I preached that. I didn't preach that with an agenda. I just preached it because it was the message God laid upon my heart. I went to thank a person who had donated generously to Merit Assembly of God. And when I did, I had to travel out of state. There was a person never attended a service of ours, but God, according to him, his words, the strong hand of the Lord has been upon me. And he became a supporter of Merit Assembly of God. So I went up to take him to lunch, thank him, and he ended up paying for lunch and said, hey, I know that, you know, the hand of God when I experience it, and I'm going to do even more for the kingdom of God. And it was like, wow, that was unexpected. And so, I was very thankful. I stopped at a revival meeting, not too far away, told my off or my worship leader at that point in time, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do on Friday night. They were handling the mail, and they opened the mail, and they decided that the news that was in the mail couldn't wait for me to get back. They drove up to the place that I said I was going to be at the revival service. They met me there. They handed me an envelope, and inside the envelope was notification that the debt that Merit Assembly of God had before I became the pastor, and that we had been paying on for 9 years, I think, at that point in time, that debt was being canceled effective immediately, because we had stepped out. So I am not one that is going to say, you know what, Leviticus is so boring. I'm not one that says, you know what, there's nothing to be learned from the genealogical records that you find in Chronicles and the first chapter of Matthew. I'm not that type of guy. I was like, God, everything's got a reason in there. And so if there's a blessing, I want to know about it. So today I want to take you to the last chapter of Leviticus. It's the third book in the Old Testament. There's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Chapter 27, verse number 28 says this: Nevertheless, no devoted offering that a man may devote to the Lord of all that he has, both man and beast, or the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted offering is most holy to the Lord. No person under the ban who may become doomed to destruction among men shall be redeemed, but shall surely be put to death. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy. If a man wants to redeem any of his tithes, he shall add one-fifth to it. And concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, or of whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord. He shall not require whether it is good or bad, inquire whether it is good or bad, nor shall he exchange it. And if he exchanges it at all, then both it and the one exchanged for it shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. So there are two types of gifts that are given irrevocably over to the Lord. And I want you to know that one of the translations, it might be the New International Version. I'm not sure which one it is right at the top of my head this morning, but it describes that gifts that are given to the Lord are given irrevocably over to the Lord. In other words, God pays attention to your giving. Jesus demonstrated that when he noticed the rich men putting their offerings in, and he noticed the woman who gave two mites. By the way, they weren't waiting for the offering plate to come by like we do in most of our services. There was a collection box, and they would go and they would put their offerings for the temple, their temple tax or their offerings to the Lord. And this woman gave everything she had to live on. It wasn't much by the world standards, but it got God's attention. And you might say, well, why would you do that? There are too many people who fall for the world's philosophy when it comes to giving. The world's philosophy from giving, they look at the charitable contributions of the church, and they call that exploitation. And I want you to know that's not what God is about at all. God is looking for faithfulness. And whenever there's faithfulness, the reward for that faithfulness is going to be extremely, exponentially greater than the financial gift that has been devoted to the Lord. On the other hand, that same group of people see no problem with the government demanding that X number of percent, X number of dollars be given. And that's whether you have it or whether you don't, whether you want to or whether you don't. There are a lot of people that say, well, you know, we should tax this group more, tax this group less. And they more than likely fall into the group that could give more if they wanted to. But I assure you, they take advantage of every tax haven that they have written into the tax code. Guarantee it. So let me talk to you about devoted giving today. In this passage, there are two different types of giving that are devoted to the Lord. One is the tithe. It is in verse number 50. It says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. I want you to know that tithing, the simple definition is 10%. The biblical principle of tithing is the first 10%. Tithing existed before the Levitical law. Tithing did not come into existence in the book of Leviticus. Tithing came into being as a result of Abraham's covenant walk with God. It was reinforced with Jacob's covenant with God. Tithing is not just 10%, it is the first 10%. It's pre-Levitical law. It is reinforced in the Levitical law, but it also exists in the age of grace. It is a principle that Jesus encourages in the book or in the New Testament, even during an age of grace. And so there are a lot of people that say, look, I'm not under the law, therefore I do not have to tithe. Well, I disagree with that, but, you know, hey, you're the one that's responsible for your obedience or not. So whatever God leaves you to, in all actuality, God owns everything that we own. We are just stewards of it. And so if God asks for everything, Robert Morris talks about this. He said, a number of times God has had us liquidate everything, sell houses, sell cars, empty retirement accounts, and they've just given it away. And they have had that experience that it was not an experience of loss, but it set them up for great success. So with tithing, the devotion that where that tithe, that first 10% of what God has entrusted to you is devoted to God, that is described by God as being His, as being holy, and it's a devoted thing that we should not touch. So it is a devoted offering, most holy to the Lord. So I will say this about that type of offering. If you are in an agrarian society, the first portion that is set aside for future propagation of the crop, set aside for seed, that seed tends to have the greatest potential for increase in it. You want that to be set aside. The second type of offering is an offering that is not necessarily something that originates from God's requirements, but as a response to the blessing of God operating in your life. This is not described as the tithe. This is described as an offering. In other words, it is something that is completely and totally voluntary, that you feel a desire to give. And so last week, there was the offering here on a WMIE. No one could compel you to give. Only the Holy Spirit could minister in such a way to move a person to voluntarily support that program. Your tithe does not belong to WMIE. Your tithe belongs, actually, let me rephrase that. It's not your tithe, it's God's tithe. God's tithe belongs in God's house. So at Merit Assembly of God, when it comes time to worship the Lord through giving, there is the devoted tithe, which God sets apart. He's declared it a devoted, holy thing unto Him. And so we present that to Him. Even the church, I tithe as a minister. Our church tithes as a church. We present that as a devoted gift unto God. And He blesses as a result of it. I tell people that some people say they can't afford to tithe. My saying is, I can't afford not to. Merit Assembly of God can't afford not to tithe. Now, so it's God's tithe, it's our offering. And so for those of you who support the Refresh Radio program, again, that is something that is voluntary. We're not here to say, you know, if you don't send in $10 million today, we may not be on the air tomorrow. We serve a great, big, wonderful God. I want to testify along with David that I have been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor have I seen their seed begging bread. And so as a minister of the gospel, I'm not here to beg, plead, or twist your arm or manipulate you into giving. I will let you know of the need, and if the Holy Spirit lays it upon your heart and you, so you say, you know what, I'm going to devote a certain amount of money to the ministry of the Refresh Radio program, then I'm going to say, praise the Lord. I'm going to rejoice and celebrate that. But I want you to know that when you devote that gift to God, he considers it a holy gift, a most holy gift. It's something that is coming out of a grateful heart. And so we treat those financial gifts with great reverence. So once a year, we have a business meeting where we report to the congregation, this is how much has come in, this is how much has gone out, this is where it went, this is how much went to missions, and all of that sort of stuff. I do not set the salaries at Merit Assembly of God. There is a board that sets the salaries. They're the ones that dictate that. Anytime there's a discussion about my salary, I leave the room. I'm not in there for the discussions. I'm there, and you could ask some board members. There have been times that I've said thank you for considering a raise, but would you please hold on to that for a little while? Let's see what God does. You know, I'm very grateful. I'm extremely blessed. God had us come to Merit Assembly of God where there wasn't much in the way of finances, but there was a great financial need. And when they said there's no, I had a person that literally said, look, oh yeah, Merit Assembly of God, that's the church where there's no money. And I said, you know what? I'm okay with that. God has plenty of financial resources. And so I pray that you will not be a manipulated giver, that you will not be a person that gives out of guilt or anything like that. I pray that you will give out of a heart of devotion, because the blessings of God will come your way. We'll see you tomorrow right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.